Touchdown Jesus. He helps athletes run faster and jump higher than non-Christians, and he determines the outcomes of Super Bowls. There's Gentle Jesus, who is meek and mild. He's got high cheekbones, he's got flowing hair, and he walks around barefoot wearing a sash while looking very German. There's Yuppie Jesus, who encourages us to reach our full potential, reach for the stars, and to buy a boat. There's Spirituality Jesus, who hates religion. He hates churches, pastors, priests, and doctrines, and would rather have people out in nature finding the God within while listening to the ambiguously spiritual music. There's Platitude Jesus. This is good for Christmas specials, greeting cards, bad sermons, inspiring people to believe in themselves. There's Revolutionary Jesus, who teaches us to rebel against the status quo, stick it to the man, and blame things on the system. There's Boyfriend Jesus, who wraps his arms around us as we sing about his intoxicating love in our secret place. And there's Good Example Jesus, who shows you how to help people change the planet and become a better you. In other words, what we have done, or what Christianized society has done, is they've taken Jesus in part and they've said, I want to kind of customize him to be what I want him to be for me, but I don't want to embrace him for who he truly and who he wholly is. Can you say amen this morning? Well, we need to do what a lifestyle of worship does, is it begins to embrace Jesus Christ for who he is and allow him to come in and to govern our lives and to be a part of that. Now, I'm not saying that we need to be a part of, sometimes I think people get this idea of being a Christian and loving Jesus is like, it's this Romeo and Juliet type of relationship. Hey, all kind of sappy and all very romantic and all that kind of stuff. Well, that's not at all the picture that we get from the Bible of understanding who Jesus is. Can you say amen? I like the strength that when Job responds and he says this, he says, though he slays me, yet I will still love him. I will still serve him. Can you say amen? How many of you have been in a place before where your determination in your relationship with Jesus says, you know what, things may look bad on the outside, but I know that Jesus is true, and I'm going to continue to endeavor to follow him regardless of what my circumstances, regardless of what other people are saying, is I am going to, if I can say, soldier on, right? I'm going to gut it up and then go on and continue to follow the Lord because he is faithful. I like what Moses said as he was out in the desert, where he said, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Can you say amen? If your presence isn't going to go with us, then I don't want to go alone. I want to have Jesus by my side. I want to have my relationship with him. That is what gives me my source of life. That is what encourages me. Later on in the New Testament, Paul would say this. He would say, that I might know him. That I might know him. I like the angst in it. It's like Paul just saying, I want to know Jesus more. Talks about, Paul tells us, gives a hint of the experiences that he had had as he was beginning to understand Christ after his conversion and the things that he saw in the Spirit that he never conveyed to us in the New Testament, and yet he's still saying, that I might know Jesus Christ. That's understanding who Jesus is. And then John, the beloved disciple, who in the book of Revelation sees these things. It says, he turns around and I saw the voice, or to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned and I saw seven golden lampsticks, and among the lampsticks was someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like a bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all of its brilliance. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. And then he placed his right hand on me and he said, do not be afraid, for I am the first and the last. And I wonder if John said, Lord, I recognize you. I was there. Do you remember? I remember when you called me. Right? I remember sitting next to you at the Last Supper. And then here, as Jesus reveals himself to him once again, John falls as a dead man before the Lord. This is intimacy. This is worship. But it's all different types of complexions of it, all different styles of worship, but all a part of that worship experience. When we think that loving Jesus Christ is just about Romeo and Juliet romantic love and at that adolescent love, then we're fooling ourselves. We're not understanding the breadth, the depth, the width of who Jesus Christ is and what a lifestyle of worship ought to be like before him. Can you say amen? Consider this story that Jesus tells in the New Testament. In Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50, kind of a lengthy reading, it says, "Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and he reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life," now we're talking, this is likely a prostitute, "okay, who had lived a sinful life in that town, learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. And then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them." Now get a picture of this. This is bizarre. This is a time where Jesus is visiting this, you know, well-to-do Pharisees in his home, and it's supposed to be kind of elegant. It's supposed to be pretty formal. Okay, but this woman has come in, and she's behind him as he's sort of reclining. It's not a table like we would think of a table, but he's sort of sitting on his legs, and his feet are facing back. And so here's this woman who is crying, and then with her tears, she's allowing it to fall onto his feet. With her hair, she's like drying up his feet. And then with that, on top of that, she's putting perfume on his feet. And so this is all going on in this home. Just an amazing scene. But in verse 39, we see the Pharisee who says, "When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself," he didn't say it out loud, but he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who's touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." And Jesus answered him. Remember, he didn't vocally or audibly ask a question, but Jesus knows his heart. He says, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" And Simon the Pharisee responded. He said, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Interesting parable that gets inserted into this situation that's taking place. And of course, you take the parable, and Jesus doesn't give it for no reason. It has direct application of what is taking place in the situation that's going on. So Jesus then in verse 44, he turns towards the woman, and he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house, and you did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears, wiped them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much, but he who has been forgiven little loves little." And then Jesus said to her, a problem for everybody listening, "Your sins are forgiven." And the other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Can you say amen? How many people before has Jesus told you, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace"? Everybody's hand in here should go up. Okay, that is salvation. That is redemption. Okay, we have been justified by Jesus Christ, and he has saved us. He has set us free from the sins that we had in our past. It's interesting in this passage, because what we have is we've got Simon the Pharisee, and we've got this woman being set up to be a perfect comparison between the two. On the one hand, you have this woman who recognizes Jesus for who he is, and she begins to lavish him with praise. She begins to take care of his feet. You know, they've been out walking and traveling, and just goes in and begins to wash and dry, and then to perfume, and just to do this as an expression for who Jesus is. On the other hand, you've got this guy who's a Pharisee who's sort of judging. He's just simply kind of watching everything. After all, he is kind of, you know, he's the Pharisee. I'm the guy in this society. I got importance. And he's sort of watching what's going on. He's judged the fact that she is a prostitute, okay? She's a sinful woman. He's judged that. He's also judged, he said, because Jesus doesn't get it, doesn't know who this woman is, then certainly Jesus must not be a prophet. So he's sitting back there judging. She's out lavishing praise on him. He's sitting there just observing and just judging. See, that's the difference about a lifestyle of worship and a lifestyle of Pharisee, you know, of pride. Worship just simply says, Jesus, I see you for who you are. I'm going to pour out myself. I'm going to, you know, pour out my love, pour out my tears, pour out, I'm going to dry, whatever I need to do, Lord, this is what I want to do. And give it to you. There was a song that we were singing today. I don't remember which song it was, but it was a song, and the lyrics said, "I am yours" in it. I am yours. Sonia, what was? Do you remember? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I am yours. Can you finish the lyrics right in that section? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was thinking about it, and I was thinking about, Lord, what does it mean for me to say I am yours? What does it mean for us as worshipers to say I am yours? I'm willing to place myself into your hand. What are we saying? I mean, there's certainly a recognition of who Jesus is. There's certainly a faith element of it. And there's certainly an understanding that he is in control and he can support everything that we've got. But that's worship. That's worship. It's appreciating Jesus for all that he has done for us. It's interesting because when you take the word worship and you begin to understand, you trace it back to where it came from, it actually comes from worth-ship. It's understanding and appreciating the worth of something. So in the case of understanding our Christian worship, what we're talking about is it's understanding the worth of Jesus Christ. Sometimes I wish that our order of service could be inverted, and so that we could come together and we could talk about worship in advance. We could talk about God and just kind of have a revelation of who he is, and then let our worship be a response to what we just learned. Wouldn't that be cool? Because it's like, oh, the light goes on. You know, we get that epiphany, that understanding of who Jesus is, and then we begin to go into worship. And sometimes as a pastor, I've got kind of an unfair advantage over you because I'm like, man, I've been preaching about worship all week long and reminding me about worth. And so I get to come in and I start to go, Jesus, you are worthy. You are worthy. You have done so many great things for us. And just from the get-go, begin to worship. That's what we ought to be doing in our lives, not just in a, you know, in a service like this morning, but in all of our lives. See, worship extends. It doesn't get punctuated by the time that's written on our website, or it's on the Facebook, or what have you, but it's all of our lives, understanding every moment of our day, understanding who he is. It's a shame sometimes that we've redefined worship into, oh, it needs to be technically correct, it needs to be perfectly orchestrated, we need to get all these different things, all these elements, you know, perfectly together, like it's sort of an orchestra or a ballet that's taking place. Hey, but really what it is it's just simply understanding who Jesus is and understanding he is worthy. He's worthy. Now all those elements can come together and add to it, but we've got to make sure that the horse is in front of the cart. It's about understanding who Jesus is, first and foremost. I remember a friend of mine, we were traveling from New York, I was going to Bible college in Tennessee. So going down to Tennessee, we were winding our way through the hills of Pennsylvania and just kind of going along, and we just began to worship. We were just worshiping the Lord. We had no music playing, just worshiping the Lord. And I remember getting the presence of the Lord just came in such a powerful way. Now, neither of us could really sing that great. Hey, we were marginal. We can sing and not get necessarily, run out of the church. Okay, but it was just, we're just singing together, just enjoying the presence of the Lord, and just a sweet, sweet presence came into that car. We began to weep and just say, oh, he's awesome. Jesus is awesome. Can you say amen? Doesn't matter whether Carrie Job is leading it, or, you know, Chris Tomlin or Bill Gaither or whoever is leading it. It's about just simply recognizing that Jesus Christ is worthy. He is worthy in letting our lives be a reflection of his worth in our lives. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I like what Psalm 100 says. It says, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us and we are his. That's a good place to begin. Okay? Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Winky Pratney, a famous evangelist, has said this, is that until and unless he becomes the whole given goal and the practical purpose of our lives, our reason for life and studies and even religious commitment will be in vain. In other words, we need to understand we can get all the technically correct stuff, all the professionalized things about church. Those things can all be done, but if it's not about Jesus Christ, then we're missing what it's about. It's about understanding him and appreciating him. There's another time that Jesus met with a woman, and it was a Samaritan woman he met at Jacob's well. And so he's going along, and it's in Samaria, and so there's a little conflict that's going on between the Israelites and the Samaritans. And so he goes and he asks this woman to draw water for him at the well. She does it. Dialogue ensues after that. She begins to understand that this is not just a regular guy that's passing through. And they begin to talk about worship. And she says, well, we need to go to worship where our forefathers have worshipped. And that's Mount Gerizim, I think is the name of it, or Gerizim. And so this is where we're supposed to worship. And she said, but you Jews, you go worship in Jerusalem. And Jesus told her this. He said that there was a day that was coming, okay, where we would neither worship in this location or that location. It wasn't specific about location, but it would be because of your heart. Okay, that living water would be inside of your heart. And in Romans chapter 12, Paul reinforces this. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of service of worship. Can you say amen? Amen? Hallelujah. I thank the Lord that I don't have to go to this chapel, that I don't have to go to the Catholic Mass, that I don't have to go to Jerusalem, I don't have to go to anything specific to go and worship, but that I have that opportunity to worship the Lord wherever I am. All I simply need to do is understand who Jesus is. Amen. And to appreciate all the great things that he has done for us. God is an awesome God. I believe that the Bible points out to us that as we worship him, as we develop a lifestyle of worship in our lives, that there are going to be blessings that are going to come into our lives. Now, I don't think that we should worship to get blessings. In itself, it's enough to worship just to recognize what Jesus has done for us, but just like a good father gives gifts to his children, so our heavenly Father wants to give gifts to us as humans as well, and that is he wants to give us good things. In Revelations chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, it points out the fact that this church had been worshiping with good intent, but they had lost their first love. In verses 4 and 5, it says, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the heights from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place. It's possible that in our lives, we can be externally perfect. Or at least we look good from the outside. It may look like everything's going well. It may look like we're worshiping. It may look like our lives are we're serving after the Lord. But the reality is, on the outside, it's good, but there's something that's been missing in our heart. Hey, that's why it's not about talent. Hey, it's not about talent, but it's about the treasure that's in our hearts. It's about that heart of worship. So what does this demand of us? How do we respond to this? And I understand that this morning we can only talk just a few things about worship, but in response to this, understanding that we need to live a lifestyle of worship, we have the opportunity to respond this way. First of all, we have to choose to worship extravagantly like this woman had worshiped extravagantly, or we can be judgmental like the Pharisee. You know, you leave church and you're like, I'll give it a 6. You know, I'll give it a 3. I'll give it a 10. Hey, it was awesome. Hey, they sang my song this morning, right? All right, that's awesome. And so we're giving like cards and things for it, right? That's not what it's about. It's about simply having a heart of worship for the Lord. It's about simply just going in and say, Lord, I'm desperate for you this morning. Thank you so much for what you've done for me. Lord, continue to work in my heart. Worship is never a time slot in your week. It's a lifestyle. It's not a time slot in your week. It's a lifestyle. Continue to worship him. Continue to praise him. Continue to tell him that he's worthy all week long. Don't just reserve it for Sunday mornings at Grace Chapel, but it's all week long that we need to do that. It's certainly not about musical style. This morning we sang all different types of styles. You even got Phil Driscoll in there. Okay? I mean, you might have preferred Switchfoot, something like that, but you got Phil Driscoll this morning. And yet what we can do is we can understand that passion that is in that artist as they're singing, or whatever that musical style is, that there is that desire to worship the Lord. And we can sing a hymn, or we can sing a new song, we can sing a spiritual song together. Colossians 3, coming together. Hey, that's what it's about, is having that heart and being able to worship the Lord for what he has for us. It's not about receiving, but worship is about giving back to the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen? So as we worship the Lord, these blessings come into our lives. And just real quick, because I need to conclude pretty quickly. Okay, but these are the blessings that come into our lives as we worship him. And we create in our lives a lifestyle of worship. First, his presence. Okay, his presence comes into our lives. How many of you could use some more of that? Matthew 18:20 says, for where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. Not only do we enjoy his presence, but we also enjoy his peace and his comfort. Psalms 29:11 says, the Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. I bet we could go through here and we could testify this morning that there have been times when you've needed peace in your life and you've gone into a time of worship, whether it be in your own closet, whether it be in your truck, whether it be, you know, in the worship service here at a church, and there's just sort of a peace that comes into your life that you needed so much. Not only do we receive his presence, his peace, his comfort, but we get his joy in our lives as well. John 15:11, we saw this a few weeks ago, said that Jesus speaking says, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Another blessing that we get as we live a lifestyle of worship is we begin to get the answers to prayer. God continues to answer our prayers as a result. Another blessing that comes into our lives is the infilling of the Holy Spirit and his special work. Can you say amen? I love to take a look at the book of Acts, and by the way, those that were following along in Acts as we went through it last year, we've still got some chapters to cover, so we're going to go back to it this year. So we want to complete it. But in the book of Acts, in chapter 4, it says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. I love that song, Forever, that we were singing, and it talks about the earth began to shake. It's like, Lord, I know it, right? I would have loved to have been there. Hey, but I believe one day he's coming back, and it says that in the mountain Jerusalem is going to be split apart. It's going to be an awesome, awesome day. But he can continue to do that in our lives right now as his Holy Spirit comes in and begins to do some awesome things in our lives. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we don't have time to go into it, but it talks about the gifts of the Spirit that are a part of the blessings that he gives to the church. Can you say amen? I want everything the Bible says I'm entitled as a believer to have. I want everything the Bible says I'm entitled to have. And the New Testament from Acts on just tells us, man, the Holy Spirit comes in and begins to wreck people's lives and continues to spread the gospel and empower people for the name of Jesus Christ. That's what I want. I want that experience in my life. Another blessing that we enjoy is His sanctification. John 17, verses 17 through 19 says, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified." You know, the reality is this, is that as you create a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, He begins to change you on the inside. There are things, perhaps, that the Holy Spirit has spoken to you that He doesn't allow you to do, and that perhaps it's something that I can do. On the other hand, there might be things that the Holy Spirit has said to Pastor Mark, you can't do these things. And maybe it's okay for you to do those things. Okay, Paul talks about, you know, we don't want to create stumbling blocks for one another. But the main thing is this, is that there is a work of sanctification that takes place in our lives as we commit ourselves to the Lord. And there is going to be a process of change that takes place in a believer's life who's following after the Lord with all of his heart. Can you say amen? I believe it with all of my heart. And lastly, another blessing that comes into our lives, and it may seem strange to you, but this is it, is exposure to sin. Exposure to sin. When we're in His presence, He's going to point out things that are not right, that need to be taken care of. And I would much rather know what those things are now than deal with them later on. Go to a doctor's checkup, right? Go every year. Around 2000, I went to the doctor and he said, "Hey, you got a problem. You got an elevated calcium level." I was like, okay. So he began to look at it and said, "You've got a growth on your parathyroid. It needs to be taken care of. If you continue to let it go, it's going to cause heart problems and you're going to die early as a result of it." I said, "Okay, doc, whatever you say, let's get it taken care of." So I ended up getting a surgery, cuts in, takes out that part on the parathyroid, takes it out. But you know what did, figured it out was that blood test. And I would have rather known and gotten it taken care of than to have not known and to left my wife without a husband, my kids without a father. I want to know. And that's what the role of the Holy Spirit is. He comes into our lives and He exposes sin. He exposes those cancers in our lives that need to be taken care of. And that is a blessing. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. How many of you want to have a lifestyle of worship? Amen. Amen. Throughout this place, I see hands going up. So let's agree together. We're going to bow our heads. We're just going to ask the Lord right now and commit ourselves to the Lord. So Lord, we come to you right now. We thank you, O God. Thank you for your word. We thank you for this picture of this woman, Lord, who goes and just cleanses the feet of Jesus, anoints the feet of Jesus. And Lord, what an example of worship. And Lord, I pray that each one of us, Lord, would have that passion and the desire to have that type of expression before you, Lord. And that, Lord, our desire would to be to worship you, for you are worthy, O God. Lord, I pray that 2017, for everyone in this sanctuary this morning, it would be a time where there's a renewed interest, a revival in our hearts to know you more. That, Lord, our worship would become even greater. Lord, that our vision of who you are would be even greater, O God. And Lord, that you would have your way in our lives. Lord, we thank you for the blessings that come out of relationship. Lord, we seek your heart, not your hand. But Lord, we know that as we get your heart, Lord, you show the hand, the strength, the good things that come with it. Lord, we praise your name. We ask it, O God, in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said amen and amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Continue to find true life in Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. And as a reminder to the parents, please go to the children's church and pick up your children. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.